This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Hour number two underway, The Boss and the Gloss, David Gao, Carla Dawson. And let me begin by asking what these people have in common. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Ron Culver, our show producer, you can be name number one. Second, Janet Jackson. And number three, Gabriela Papadakis.
I know.
You know?
Wardrobe malfunction.
Wardrobe malfunction.
We won't mention Ron's. It involves a zipper, but we're just going to leave that at
Just leave Ron's zipper out of the dialogue, please.
I didn't think you guys could see that.
Oh, my gosh. Stay seated.
Nothing gets by the boss in the gloss, Ron.
For just goodness sake. But last night, it was an extraordinary French ice dancing. Actually, French ice dancing just sounds like something that ought to be a moment for wardrobe malfunction.
Well, sure.
I mean, the last time you went French ice dancing, what happened? You kept all your clothes on, I guess.
That I did.
Yeah, that's fully reassuring.
Fully clad.
But French ice dancing.
And they managed second place even amidst the wardrobe malfunction.
No, probably because of the wardrobe malfunction. I mean, let's face
it. There is a lot of subjectivity in ice skating. That is true.
There it is. I rate them higher, no doubt. But I rate Ron Culver.
I can't rate Ron. That's just not
far lower. Sorry, Ron. It just didn't work.
And I don't want to get in trouble, so I'm not going to rate Ron.
No trouble.
No, but you know what? In this little scenario, I took the bronze.
Yeah.
At the end of the day,
You're on the podium. I like that.
Pantless.
Oh, my gosh. Please. Ron Culver.
Pants at the knees, on the podium. He made it. There you go.
All right. The other outfit of note, Johnny Weir. He was dressed beautifully last night.
Beautifully.
I mean, it's always a rival to what you wear here at the show every week.
I know. He's kind of my spirit animal.
Well,
my fashion spirit animal.
You are the gloss. Gloss
he's
number
way
one.
Glossier.
No, I'm not going to give him the title.
You're not?
Well, he's beautiful, but
I got to up my game when I turn on that TV to see.
But
John
you're the gloss. I mean, you're the original gloss. He's a mere imitation.
I know, but I love watching him. He is entertaining, sassy, and knows his stuff. He is very riveting, and he and Tara Lipinski, great partnership, almost as good as yours and mine.
I'd like to think so. I'll be Johnny, you be Tara.
That's the deal.
When we return, we'll talk some NBA on The Boss and the Gloss.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Every now and then I feel the need to say this. The partner sitting next to me, Carla Dawson, the Gloss, she's one of those few people who watches, well, she watches everything related to sports. She watches the NFL Pro Bowl. She watches all 40 college bowl games.
I'm a bowler. No doubt.
She watches roller derby, and there's even that Saturday afternoon bowling show that she watches. She watches a lot of these things, right?
French ice dancing.
Okay. Oh, French ice dancing. I'm glad you said the French.
It just gives it a whole, takes it to a whole new level.
You were watching the French ice dancing
live.
When the wardrobe malfunction happened, and you stood up and went, well, I mean, what was your reaction? I mean, it was.
I was like, Gabriela is a rock star. She didn't even flinch.
She just kept going.
Kept going. Yep, give it to her.
Well, one of the things you also watched this weekend was the NBA All-Star Game. And based on last year's game, which was really an exhibition, it was a show.
It was 200 to 300, some crazy score.
It was ridiculous. I actually didn't think this was going to be much of a game. But it did turn out to be a game, at least in the last 5 minutes. A lot of good show. I don't think we missed out on anything that was in last year's.
Right.
But it got more competitive.
They started to play defense with about 4 minutes left in the game.
Right.
Which was so
better late than never.
Better late than never. But I love this new format. This has been my favorite all-star game by far, where you don't have East versus West. I love that Team LeBron, Team Steph got to pick players from all over the league. So
yep.
You had LeBron picking Kevin Durant first.
Whew.
And Russell Westbrook, putting them on the team together. Picking Kyrie. These are unlikely people that you think you would put together on a team, and LeBron picking Kyrie. to see them come together like that and play, it was so fun. It was just fun.
I thought LeBron's team was the best starting five I've ever seen on a court together.
Unreal. Talk about a super team. I mean, Steph had his great people, too, by far, with Klay Thompson, with, you know, James Harden. I mean, he had a great team to work with, too. It wasn't any type of a game until the final 3 minutes when LeBron kicked in. I think he got some L.A. mojo, which brings about, you know, what are we thinking for the
future? Are you going to start those whispers again? LeBron to L.A.?
LeBron was whispering. He wasn't even whispering those whispers. He was giving them to the media.
Yeah, you know, for a guy who was complaining last week that the media is intruding on his season, talking about next year when he wants to focus on the here and now and execute this season very well. He didn't want it to be a distraction to the Cleveland Cavaliers this season. He did leave L.A. talking about what a great city it was.
His family loves it. He loves the city. The traffic is manageable. I mean, nothing about traffic is manageable in L.A. He was giving out some serious love. But it's all about, and I know I say this every time, LeBron controls the narrative. So last week, he didn't want to deal with that L.A. narrative. This week, he's in L.A. He's going to control it. That's how it goes.
But it's not good for the Cavaliers. It's a distraction.
No, it is. Absolutely, it is.
And then he can't blame the media for jumping all over these rumors. Anyway, I don't know if he can get to the Lakers. The interesting thing, going to the Lakers, LeBron alone is interesting, but they'll need two.
They'll need
Paul George to go as well. They'll need two guys, put two stars, put George and James on that team, and then maybe they've got something.
If LeVar doesn't pull Lonzo.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen.
Out there,
yes.
Too.
Right. But no, with Ball there and with Kuzma, they've got some pieces. It'll be really interesting to see if that really were to pass. But right now, in the here and now, the Cleveland Cavaliers are looking far better. Great trades at the trading deadline. It seems they've gotten younger, more inspired. It was interesting. Charles Barkley this week said it was a masterful set of trades at the deadline by Kobe Altman of the Cavaliers.
Rookie GM Kobe Altman. Let's just say that.
Rookie GM, although
unbelievable.
He had a good assistant GM in LeBron to help him out,
yes, I guess. I would say it's not even an assistant GM. It's a co-GM in LeBron James. But you know what he did? You're right. He brought youth to that team. He brought competitiveness. He also brought happiness to LBJ,
yes,
to King James.
No, it positioned him better for this season and for long term, because they've still got the pick from the Nets, the number one draft pick. They've got the young group they've got on the court now, and they've got perhaps the foundation that will get LeBron to return.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting time in Cleveland. When you look across the NBA, you've got the East, Toronto, Cleveland, Celtics. It's interesting, Barkley this week, Charles Barkley, the sage of the NBA this week, mm-hmm, was saying that he only sees the top two teams in the East being Toronto and Cleveland. He really had the Celtics as a distant third.
Well, the Celtics are hitting some bumps.
Yep.
And, you know, this is a long season. There are still, I mean, it's more than halfway now because the All-Star game was later this year. But I wouldn't count out the Celtics at this point.
The one thing, Jason Tatum, who's been such
a
good rookie, he's hit a bit of a wall. His three-point average has declined significantly. The week off for the All-Star break may be just what he needed. Mm-hmm. Jaylen Brown, in his second season, is doing well, and his points and scoring is up. But a lot of that's due to extra minutes. He's filled some of the minutes that, frankly, they would have given to Gordon Hayward if he had been healthy.
All these guys are filling the minutes that would have been given to Gordon Hayward.
Yeah.
So I don't count them out yet, though. Brad Stevens knows how to manage this. He did it at Butler, taking a mid-major, you know, to the Final Four, I don't know how many times.
Yep.
I don't count him out. So, and it's all about managing the minutes. And at this point in the season, this is not where you push for it. So, I don't know. I still think they are could be contenders, definitely, in the East.
So, over the West, Charles Barkley, following his words, said that the Rockets were the team, that really Golden State's bench is not what it was, and that the Rockets have a real shot to unseat the Warriors.
I think right now we are seeing that. I mean, I agree with Charles Barkley on that. I mean, the Rockets are more than the flavor of the week. I mean, they've got a pretty healthy team right now, with the exception of Trevor Ariza. They've got different people stepping up each night, in Clint Capella, in Ryan Anderson, in Eric Gordon. I mean, you expect the Chris Pauls, you expect the James Harden. But it's these other guys. And then they signed Joe Johnson and Brandon Wright this week. Great pickups.
Great pickups.
Really solid pickups. they are good all across the board, and they're getting fresh blood into the Rockets lineup. Golden State is really not. And, you know, Kerr is losing his stars a bit. And, I mean, he's very open about it. Handed the clipboard to Iguodala last week, you know, before the All-Star break. It'll be interesting to see what look the Warriors bring post-All-Star, post-All-Star break. And you're right. Iguodala and Livingston are a lot older. And Kerr is really great at knowing how to manage those minutes. I mean, in the championship run last year, didn't play Iguodala much in Game 4 at all in Cleveland, and had said to him, I'm doing this on purpose. And for Game 5, which they won, that was a championship game in Oakland, he said to Andre before the game, how many minutes can you give me tonight? He said, I can give you whatever you need. He goes, I'm going to need you big. And he had known that and salvaged game, you know, his playing time for Iguodala in Game 4 because at Iguodala's age and how tough he plays, you can't run him to the brink every night.
Right.
So it was a really wise move on Kerr's part. So, but at some point, Father Time wins. And maybe that's what we're seeing with Livingston and Iguodala. I hope not. And I hope the week break will show something different. I love watching Golden State, and I want them to do well.
Well, I'm not ready to anoint the Cavaliers the class of the East.
No, I'm not either.
A great start. There are still all these fresh faces. They're still in the honeymoon stage.
They are. It's adrenaline.
It's adrenaline. There's a lot of excitement, but I just don't know how they can sustain it. We'll have to see. There'll be time to sort that out. Lastly, on the NBA, 13 Hall of Fame finalists were announced, and that's real recognition just to get there.
Love the list.
It's an incredible list. Who stands out to you on this list? I mean, four of these guys, well, they'll be announced Final Four weekend, the inductees. Who do you like most on this list?
I've got to say, it's Rudy Tomjanovich. He is on the list as a coach, which he should be. He brought the Rockets, Houston Rockets, their first ever not only championship but back-to-back championships in the 90s with, other than Hakeem Olajuwon, kind of a roster of, you know, misfits in Vernon Maxwell and Mario Elie. You know, they were not big names at the time. Otis Thorpe, Kenny Smith, you know, Sam Cassell's. He did amazing things with those. And he coined the phrase, you know, nothing like a heart of it. Never underestimate the heart of a champion. What is interesting about this edition is that he's on here as a coach. He also deserves to be on this list as a player. He was an outstanding player with the San Diego Rockets himself. And
well, he was an outstanding player. His career shortened, really undermined by Kermit Washington.
Terrible hit to the face.
An incredible hit. Just as Rudy T was running in the direction, the hit came, and I don't think Rudy was ever the same player after that moment.
No.
But, yeah, he's a guy who deserves to be in the Hall, no doubt. I just look at Steve Nash. It's sort of interesting to me, while Nash doesn't have a whole lot of championship rings, he doesn't have a lot of things that some of the other names in
got
the
the numbers.
When he was on the court, and I would just look down at the court, my eye would follow him. Mm-hmm. He was just electric on the court. It was fun to see the way he moved, the way he distributed the ball, the way he shot. I just found him to be an exceptional player.
He was probably Mike D'Antoni's disciple that enabled Mike D'Antoni's system to continue. Steve Nash was the perfect player to fit into that, and he did it well in Phoenix.
Well, we will learn who gets in on Final Four weekend in San Antonio. When we come back, we're going to get to talk to Tim Murray of SB Nation Radio. We're going to ask him about all things Olympics. We're going to ask him if he's had a chance to see the North Korean cheerleaders, the Army of Beauties. When we return, Tim Murray.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, make your tax refund go farther at O'Reilly Auto Parts. If you've been delaying some much-needed car repair maintenance, delay no longer. Spend a little of your tax refund on your vehicle now and save on repairs down the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts has exactly what you need at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us now on SB Nation Radio is a real treat. It is it is Tim Murray from our morning show. Tim, you are at the Olympics. How are things?
Things are good. We're about to hit the airwaves for USA and Slovakia in the qualification round. So things are going pretty well as we hit the backstretch here on the fork night.
Well, my first question, it's the one I've just been wondering about ever since I learned about the North Korean cheerleaders.
Oh, boy, here it comes.
Here it comes, the Army of Beauties. My first thought was, have you seen them? But then I thought, no, what's maybe more relevant, have the Army of Beauties gotten a chance to see Tim Murray?
I don't know if they've seen me. I guess I'm hard to miss with my 6'6 body and red hair. But
oh yeah,
no, I have seen them multiple times, and it's certainly interesting. I went one of the first events that I covered while here was certainly an event that I will never forget: the Unified Women's Hockey Team taking on.
Sure.
Switzerland. It was an incredible event. Obviously, Korea lost that game 8-0, but there were a number of cheering sections all throughout that arena. And then no matter where you go, if a North Korean athlete is in that particular event, there will be a cheering section there. So I was at a cross-country skiing event, and it was a women's cross-country skiing event a couple days ago. And one of the North Korean athletes was one of the last to go, and there they were cheering for her. And she, you know, I finished bottom of the field, but they were there cheering her on from start to finish. So no matter where you go, if there's a North Korean in that field, they will be there. And, yeah, going back to that hockey game that I saw, there were about, I want to say, four different cheering sections all throughout the arena for that unified women's hockey game that I saw.
And is it choreographed cheering? Too,
it is.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I figured they want to put on a
they're
show.
They're not messing around. Yeah, and it was pretty interesting because, you know, a lot of these venues, and to their credit, you know, during intermissions or during a lull in the action, they'll be playing music or they'll have entertainers. And it's actually been pretty fascinating and I think really well done. Obviously, I don't have anything to compare it to. This is my first Olympics. But the hockey games that I've gone to, the intermission entertainment has been pretty good. And they're doing their best. It reminds me of many games that you go to in the United States. They have, you know, Kiss Cam and all of that type of stuff on the video board, and then they've got live entertainment, whether it's, you know, a pop band or we've seen a rapper or two. But that was so at the unified game against Switzerland, the intermission entertainment was a rapper, and he was doing a good job. But the North Korean cheering sections were just doing their own thing. They were not going along with that. They were chanting and cheering, and yeah, it is. It's impressive. I don't know when they practice or how often they practice. I guess a lot. And, yeah, they're very choreographed.
I mean, you got to love a country that sends 22 athletes and 100 cheerleaders. Wow.
Right?
There we go.
Yeah, exactly.
North Korea. Okay.
Yeah. Do what you do, right?
Do what you do. That's right. I love it. Okay, Tim, I have to ask. Russia is trying to, or the OAR is trying to become, you know, Russia by the closing ceremony so they can walk as a nation. And then, voila. We have a Russian hurling scandal.
Like, right.
Can you just talk to us about that?
I have had the pleasure, and I mean pleasure, of covering curling these past couple of days. It's fascinating. I've learned more about it. And look, I can't do what they do, but
do you need they drugs are certain, to curl? That's what I want.
They are certainly not the most in shape athletes. You know, I mentioned cross country skiing, and you see these men and women. They are physical specimens. They work out nonstop to get in the shape that they do to perform their sport. Curling, it takes a lot of skill. I once again cannot do what they do. They're the best in the world at it, but to say that they need to be in tip-top shape is certainly would not be correct. So the fact that the doping scandal comes at and it was a curler is just phenomenal.
Bizarre.
And it's just so fascinating. And I heard Matt Hamilton, who's actually I overheard him talking to another media member before I talked to him yesterday after US beat Canada. And for those who don't know who Matt Hamilton is, he's the gentleman who looks like Andy Reid. He's got an awesome mustache, and he's a big redheaded guy on
Team USA.
Lots of redheads
over there. What are y'all doing?
I know, lots of redheads representing the United States. But I heard someone ask him about, you know, what advantages do they have? And he said, well, it could help you out, giving you extra endurance when you're sweeping or, you know, pushing the rock a little bit harder, I guess. But no, it is rather astonishing that it's a curler that it comes out was the one who was doping.
That's what got me.
Yeah, and one thing about Russia or the Olympic athletes from Russia, I was so after every event, they go through what's called the mix zone. So you stand there as a reporter, and you're with other reporters from every country, and it's, you know, and obviously those countries are waiting for their particular athletes. So and a Russian was getting interviewed right next to me, and she was wearing her Russian jacket. And all she had over to cover the symbol on her shoulder was a piece of tape. So there's a piece of black tape, but you could see pieces of that Russian logo kind of peeking out from the sides of it.
Always pushing the limits, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, or it's just, you know, they're like, oh, I guess we can't wear this. Let's just put some tape over it. It almost reminds me of, what was that, 1992 when the Dream Team with, you know, Charles Barkley and Jordan, they were Nike guys, but the Dream Team was Reebok, and they put, I think they put the tape over,
know,
their stuff. So, yeah, it kind of reminded me of that. That is one fascinating thing about these Olympic athletes. They know exactly what to do, even though they may have not been interviewed a ton. You know, interviewing skiers or snowboarders, if you guys watch them while they wait for
they
their scores.
They are made up and looking foxy. That's what I've noticed.
Well, and what's the first thing that they do while they wait for that score? They pull up that snowboard to make sure that their sponsor on the bottom of the snowboard is getting that pub. And then when you interview these athletes after in the mix zone, especially if they're skiers, they make sure they're wearing their team gear. They make sure they're wearing their skis are up, because each particular team, let's just use the United States, for example, each particular team could be sponsored by a different entity. Team USA is sponsored by Nike. But the skiing team, the cross-country skiing team, has an L.L. Bean sponsorship. So they make sure to wear their L.L. Bean gear and then have their skis up. So it is pretty fascinating when you see, you just kind of step back and just, you're like, all right, yeah, there's, obviously they know what they're doing. There's a business behind this. This is the biggest event for their particular team to get some pub. So they're making sure that they're getting their money's worth.
We are talking to morning show host of SB Nation Radio, Tim Murray. He's our man on the ground in South Korea. Okay, let's talk USA hockey, men's versus women, a tale of two teams. Well, let's talk about the positive one, the females. They're on their way, aren't they?
I mean, yeah.
It's a very exciting run they're on.
Yeah, I'm very excited about what will be Wednesday night back in the States, Thursday afternoon here for this gold medal game. It's a long time coming. These two teams, they don't like each other.
Yeah,
they
right.
do not like each other, USA and Canada. And credit to them. All they've been getting asked about since the day they stepped foot in Pyeongchang was the USA-Canada gold medal game. They had to deflect. And now it's here. And the mission is for the United States to get that gold. They won the world championships in 15, 16, and 17. But Canada gets it done when it's the biggest moment. Canada has not lost a game in the Olympics since the gold medal game in 1998. So they have had the U.S.'s numbers, and they're going for their fifth straight gold medal. So it's going to be a battle. Obviously, Canada won in pool play. I cannot wait. It's going to be a fascinating game. It's going to be an intense game. It's the two best teams in the world. There's no upset. These are the two best teams in the world. They do not like each other. It's going to be great television on Wednesday night back in the States.
And what's your pick, Tim? Who do you like?
The fact that U.S. won 5-0 yesterday over Finland really made me feel better. I did not like the way they played in pool play. Mm-hmm. Yesterday was reassuring. I think they get it done. I am a homer, obviously. I will go with the United States finally getting that monkey off their back and getting the gold for the first time since 98.
Tim, I want to ask you quickly about, we're seeing the tale of two skiers in Lindsey Vonn and Michaela Schifrin. And not so much in results, but just in how they're handling the Olympics so far. The youth, expectations, adversity, what do you see as the difference between these two skiers right now?
Well, Lindsey Vonn, this is her last go-around. And Michaela Schifrin, she's kind of coming onto the scene. So I think Lindsey Vonn is just trying to go out on top. And, you know, she obviously said what she said about the president, so she's been asking a lot of questions. Michaela Schifrin, so much expectation. She's the best in the world, so she's got a tough task ahead trying to win the combined, but both are tremendous, and hopefully both bring home some more hardware in the next couple days.
Well, Tim, you get the gold. Thanks for joining us on SB Nation Radio.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Tim.
What did you just say? What the hell?
It's time for He Said, She Said on The Boss and the Gloss.
Yeah, that intro is a little more animated than even you and I are.
Well, just wait. Maybe not tonight.
So this segment, we get to go through what some sports luminaries have said during the course of the week, and we will provide our own analysis. And actually, I'm going to begin with our beloved friend for the L.A. Lakers, Lonzo Ball.
Any beeps in this one? You love beeps.
No, there's no F-bombs. There's no illicit language whatsoever. But this is interesting. LeVar Ball, the father, said that Lonzo Ball would not re-sign with the Lakers unless the Lakers also signed the two brothers. And that's a big deal. I mean, there's no way that the Lakers are going to sign the two brothers. They're not NBA ready, not probably ever going to be NBA ready. And to make an ultimatum that Lonzo would leave the Lakers is outrageous. So everybody went to Lonzo and said, what about it? Your father has said this. He said, you're going to leave. And Lonzo said, no reaction. I always just play. He always talks. It's always been that way.
Props to Lonzo. By what he said is saying so much. He's happy with the Lakers. He's got a team that believes in him. I think he's been happy with his dad over in Lithuania dealing with the brothers. And it's like, you know, you can't keep LeVar quiet for long. So, hey, good for Lonzo.
See, it strikes me as he is being dismissive or demoting what his dad has to say, which is really the posture he needs to take. So,
absolutely.
Yes, I agree. We're going to side with Lonzo on that. I think it was a good move.
And Lonzo's about to be a dad, too.
All right. Let's go to the second he said, she said. This was really a dialogue where the Browns left tackle Joe Thomas is looking to find a quarterback for Cleveland, and he's recruiting Kirk Cousins, as well he should be. Thomas made a big pitch. Cousins has tweeted back. Let's listen to what's happening in Cleveland with Kirk Cousins.
Quote, Cooper and I are interested in hearing where the best spot is for us. We have no idea yet. Hashtag waiting. Come get him. Thomas then responded, I hear Cleveland is nice this time of year. That is, if you like to have a statue one day.
Okay, so I think the message there is, look, Kirk Cousins, if you come to Cleveland and you win a championship,
you're going to be the man.
You're going to have a statue.
I mean, you've got a 1-31 record over 2 years. You've got to love Joe Thomas. He was drafted first round in 2007, has been with the Cleveland Browns ever since. A 10-time Pro Bowler. He's the poster child. I don't blame him. I'd be selling Cleveland, too, the hardest I can. This guy wants to go out in good form.
Well, it strikes me if, by some miracle, Cleveland could convince Kirk Cousins to sign, the Browns would be poised. I mean, they do have five of the top 65 picks in this year's draft.
Oh my gosh.
They would get Cousins, and then they could use the first pick overall. They're a number four pick overall they got from the Texans. All these picks on great players. They could get probably the best edge rusher in this draft, the best running back. They'd get Saquon Barkley for sure. And then they can build an offensive line. They could really build the resources, really, to build a team for Kirk Cousins.
Are you pimping for a GM job right now? Because it's sounding really good.
Well, they've got a lot to bring to bear. I'm going to be an optimist on the Browns, but I don't think they get Kirk Cousins, despite Joe Thomas's recruiting. Okay, the next, he said, she said. This is her debut. This comes from a female. It's her debut on our sports show. This is Laura Ingraham of Fox News, and she had some words for LeBron. Let's hear what Laura Ingraham told LeBron James.
All right, we're going to create a new banner. This is a Jum Doc alert. NBA superstar LeBron James is talking politics again, and this time it's R-rated. Here's his barely intelligible, not to mention ungrammatical, take on President Trump in a new ESPN podcast.
The number one job in America, the point of person, is someone who doesn't understand the people and really don't give a f*** about the people.
But wait, there's more gripping insight. ESPN host Carrie Champion asked James and fellow NBA star Kevin Durant about what she described as Trump's racist comments.
I feel like our team as a country is not ran by a great coach.
It's not even a surprise when he says something. It's not even a surprise. It's like laughable. It's like,
it's that's laughable. Bad.
It's laughable, and it's scary.
But it's also scary,
right,
because
right.
I shouldn't be numb to your racist comments.
Right, right.
I shouldn't be numb to your behavior.
I'm numb to this commentary, like, must they run their mouths like that? Unfortunately, a lot of kids and some adults take these ignorant comments seriously. Look, there might be a cautionary lesson in LeBron for kids. This is what happens when you attempt to leave high school a year early to join the NBA. And it's always unwise to seek political advice from someone who gets paid $100 million a year to bounce a ball. Oh, and LeBron and Kevin, you're great players, but no one voted for you. Millions elected Trump to be their coach. So keep the political commentary to yourself, or as someone once said, shut up and dribble.
Ouch.
Wow. I just caught about 10 flies in my wide open mouth. I did not hear the entire thing until just now. She uses the word ignorant to describe LeBron and Kevin Durant. The only ignorant person I heard in there was Laura Ingraham. Unreal.
Okay.
What an embarrassment.
Adam Silver weighed in on this. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. We're going to hear what he had to say in response.
Well, let me begin by saying I'm incredibly proud of our players, you know, for using the platform they have as players in the NBA and on social media to speak out on issues that are important to them. And I was proud of LeBron and Kevin's response to the comments that were made, you know, about them.
You gotta love a white male in a position of high authority, commissioner of the NBA, the boss of LeBron and Kevin Durant, praising his players for doing that because they did it in the right way. They used their platform in the right way. Wow. Laura Ingraham, last I checked, is not a black male in America, so I'm not sure how she can call them dumb jocks and unintelligible and everything else when she really doesn't know where they are coming from.
Yeah, when I sit back and listen to Laura Ingraham, what I'm thinking is it's the product of talk radio. Yes. It is this notion that it's better to be loud and outrageous, and that will get you fame,
shock and awe,
which is the currency of talk radio. I don't even know if she believes everything she said, but she's going to just put it out there, and now she has built a bigger name for herself. People who didn't know who Laura Ingraham was a week ago now know her name.
As my wise boss once told me, fame and honor are not necessarily the same.
They are not the same. Fame is loud and being known, and honor comes with it a gravitas, a moral understanding. And anyway,
so
this
we can
was
safely
a,
say Laura Ingraham is the un-honor.
Well, she certainly go. Won some fame, didn't
Woo,
she?
Boy, she did.
All right, let's go to another he said, she said. We are rocking with a bunch today. This is the Olympic analyst and former skier Bodie Miller, and he had some words about Austrian skier Anna Wirth. Go ahead, Ron.
2015-16 season, Bodie, ended for great skiing. This hasn't been the same since.
And yeah, the knee is certainly an issue. I want to point out she also got married, and it's historically very challenging to race on the World Cup with the family or after being married. It's just, you know, not to blame the spouses, but I just want to toss that out there that it could be your husband's fault.
You just want to toss that out there, Bodie. You're just dismissing the fact that she tore her ACL before the 16 season, and she is making a comeback and is here at the Olympics, and you're blaming the spouse. How about focusing on that unbelievable comeback? Bodie Schmody, not loving on him.
No, he took some heat for that one, didn't he?
Deservedly so.
So wow. Let me try to defend Bodie for a minute. Okay.
Oh,
what about
man,
the notion
that... you're not going to do that, are you?
That, well, there's... She may lack the ability to be as single-minded when she's got a spouse. You're looking... I'm really going nowhere with this. Maybe I should just surrender.
I think you should surrender.
Okay.
That's better.
I will rescind my effort to help Bodie out. I'll just let Bodie stand where he is.
Yeah, we're not feeling sorry.
Ron, you saw that look she just flashed at me, right? I mean,
unfortunately, no, because her head was facing the other way. But I didn't see the look.
Eyes don't lie.
I felt it.
Yeah.
Even it wasn't directed at me. Well, I didn't even see it. I could read it. I could feel it off of your facial expression.
Yeah.
Well, you two should not mess with the Princess of Darkness. I can pull out some Raider tricks. I'm not joking.
Well, I guess you wouldn't have seen her face. She's been looking at me during the show after your wardrobe malfunction. She's keeping her head turned in my direction.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
She didn't want to see what's going on over there.
I really can't blame her for that.
Okay, let's come on out of the gutter. Let's keep... Oh, no, we're actually going right back
We're going right into the gutter. This may be the worst yet. This is Patrick Connor. He's a radio host, or was a radio host, at KNBR, one of the big sports talk stations in the Bay Area. He's also on Barstool Sports as a co-host. And he was talking about the Olympic gold medalist Chloe Kim, who is 17. And this is what he had to say about 17-year-old Chloe Kim.
No doubt. And in fact, just to keep it on that tip, her 18th birthday is April 23rd, and the countdown is on, baby, because I got my Wooderson going. That's what I like about them high school girls. Man,
no.
She's fun. As,
I love it,
Pecan. I'm right there with you.
She's fine as hell.
If she was 18, you wouldn't be ashamed to say that she's a little hot piece of.
You got another beep.
I threw that beep in there for you.
No,
If it was for someone older, I might have just let, you know, that word fly, because it's not that bad. You can't say it on the radio, but we're dealing with a minor here, and I didn't want to publicize that anymore.
You're dealing with a minor, and he's counting. He loves high school girls. Like, come on, Ron, you're a dad of three sons.
In all fairness, he was quoting a line from a movie, which is, I believe it's. Let me double check real quick.
Oh my gosh. Okay, but you're a dad of three boys. And let's say yours was saying this on the radio. Would you allow that to happen? What would you say to your boys?
Of course not. But here's the line in the movie. He was talking about Wooderson. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the movie Dazed and Confused.
No.
But this was the line he was referencing.
That's what I love about these high school girls, man. I get older, they stay the same age.
Yes, they do.
Now,
yes,
in this context, if you see the movie, this was what gave Matthew McConaughey his big start, his big break. And the character that he plays, his name is Wooderson, is iconic. But it's, you know, the movie's set in the 1970s. He's just he's graduated high school, but he's just...
There was no hashtag Me Too at that point.
No, but he's also just living, I mean, he's not really doing anything with his life. And, you know, smokes a lot of weed, drinks all the time, parties all the time. That's his character.
Well, guess what? Now Patrick Connor, after being fired after these comments, he has lots of time to do nothing with his life, too.
Yes, he was immediately let go by KNBR, so he's got to figure out his next steps. Interesting times.
So interesting. Wow.
Chloe Kim, really, the little bit I've seen her on TV and her interviews, she does have a wonderful demeanor about her, a great spirit. She was laughing at her ability to do Twitter and communicate. She's a really...
And how she was hangry.
Hangry.
Yes.
You got to love that. Like she's, you know, I want ice cream now, really feeling some pizza, you know, whatever it is. Love that.
Yeah. You know, every year in the Olympics, there are a couple of stars that just by their personality and their performance, clearly, they're just a breath of fresh air. They capture the attention. They're the face of the Olympics. She certainly won this year.
Absolutely. She is. Bye-bye, Patrick.
I'm a fan. Yeah, Patrick Connor.
Don't let the door hit you. Let the good Lord split you. See ya.
We'll see what happens to him next. All right. We will come back and empty out the notebook. We'll close out hour number two. You've been listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
See, every week, sitting next to the gloss, I learn so much. I learned this week how to pronounce Shohei Ohtani, the great pitcher.
I am useful. You really can't fire me.
You're very useful.
Such good information.
I learned a lot about Fergie, and she's going to be okay.
I think she's going to be okay.
She's going to recover from this. A lot of people feel good about her singing, that it was a good effort. She put a lot of heart and soul into it. I also learned about the Army of Beauties, the choreographed Army of Beauties, the North Korean Beauties. One thing I would say that I found sort of interesting, we talked to Tim Murray about, the hundreds of cheerleaders North Korea has sent over to support the North Korean athletes. This is the way he worded it. I paid close attention to this. He said, wherever you would see a North Korean athlete, there would be a huge crowd of North Korean beauties following him around. And I thought of Ron Culver that way, because Ron's always had this daydream that whenever he would be somewhere, there'd be an army of beauties following him around.
And I think that happens.
Are you saying there's not?
Well, I'm just...
You have not stepped
inside my
head.
I can't get past him in the hallway.
I have a one-man band in my head that follows me around.
All right.
But Ron's line is, do you know who I think I am?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Ron's got an army of beauties. This army of beauties, though, in North Korea, they were chosen based on their looks. Their what? I mean, what's the criteria to be one of these women?
So they needed to be college age.
You have to be North Korean.
You start with North Korea.
Well, yes, that's actually the most important thing. You do have to be a citizen of North Korea,
okay,
because there is not an option to say no. They are actually forced to do this. They're handpicked by the regime, ordered by the regime. They did not come on their own will. Here's the interesting part. They're not allowed to discuss this when they go back home. They just to go back to their lives as if this never happened. Mm. There will be no discussion. Is that fascinating?
It is.
A little bit.
It's very odd. It's just not like anything else that normally happens.
And they were rounded up by the government to be sent out to look pretty. That's the deal. So they're supposed to look pretty, be from a good family, loyalty to their party, and they have to be at least 5'3" and all similar to the same height.
They really captured the media's attention. Mm-hmm. Across the world, we're talking about the Army of Beauties from North Korea.
Well, I've never seen cheerleaders at an Olympics.
No, never cheerleaders and never really choreographed cheering. And they all dress the same. They all look the same. They all have a similar look.
Not an accident.
Yeah. Well, they are beautiful. And hopefully they will go back to live happily ever after in North Korea.
And lucky for the 22 athletes from North Korea, they got quite a cheering section.
That they do. This has been the Boss and the Gloss. Another great week. Stay tuned for Coach Les, who is coming up next here on SB Nation Radio.